You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
We're going to be looking at the last part, when you give, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. First verse in, and I'm already attacking the people pleasers. For then you will have no reward for your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Father, as we just get into your word, God, would you just open our hearts, soften our hearts to just receive your word, that it might not just be behavior modification, but it would transform our hearts, Lord God. Help us to see your heart behind giving, why you ask us to do it. Teach us about generosity. And Father, English is not my first language, but for the next 20 minutes, I pray it would be. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Proverbs 11, verse 24. Speak the other language. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. The Message translation says it like this, and I love it. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. If you're taking notes today, I've titled my message, The World of the Generous. The World of the Generous. What is generosity in the kingdom? What does the world of the generous look like? And I hope by today we can gain some insight into what Jesus is talking about. Sound good? Christianity is often described by the phrase, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And I'd agree, but I'd take it a step further and say, Christianity is all about the heart. It's about who you really are. It's about the deep roots of what makes you function. It's not about ticking boxes. It's not about saying grace before you eat. It's not about coming to church. It's about the depths of who you really are. And Mark 10 shows us this beautifully. And so by Mark 10, Jesus is at a point of his ministry where he's quite well known. He's gone around, he's done a few miracles. People have heard about him and they're coming to see who he really is. And he's well known. He's this dude who's completely radicalizing the way we think of the scriptures back then. And so he attracts this one guy, a young leader, and he is so eager to please God. And when I read this, I was like, oh, this guy's missed it. But I realized this guy's done more than I have. See, let me read it for you. Mark 10. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up to him, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now, just quickly, he's not saying he's not God. He's saying, you don't believe I'm God. So let's not pretend. If you're going to call me good, you better think I'm God. So I'm not God. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father to mother. And he interrupts him and he says, teacher, I've kept all of these since my youth. He's essentially saying, man, I'm Isaac Proctor Press Ghost Track. You know, I've done all of it. Like I've kept it since I was young. And that's why when I judged him at first, when I'm like, this guy's done a better job than I have. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful. One translation says he hangs his head and walks away, for he had great possessions. See, this guy He's not in an initial wrong. He's done absolutely everything he can to honor God the way he knows. He's followed the commands. He's followed all of that. And Jesus feels love for him because he realized this guy is really trying to please God. But Jesus comes to a moment and he knows, I'm gonna ask him of something that's gonna be tough. It's a point in which he's gonna have to make a decision of he's all in or he's all out. And see, this young ruler comes to Jesus and he thinks he's done it all, that he's figured it out. But see, this young ruler, this young leader, he had religion, but God did not have his heart. He had followed the commands that were easy to him, but he could not surrender to the lordship of Jesus. Let me put it like this. There are things in this book which will be really, really easy for you to do. Things like, do not commit murder. I hope do not commit murder is really easy not to do. Isaac might be struggling with that right now. You know, I hope there are things which are really easy for you to do. And they come naturally to you, and that's great, maybe because of how you've been brought up, genetics, just who you are. There are things that are easy to do. But do not mistake that for lordship. Lordship doesn't begin till agreement ends. What do I mean by that? Lordship doesn't begin until you start doing the stuff God asks you to do, and you're like, this is a bit tough to do. Or, God, I don't really want to do this. I'll do all this other stuff, but this thing you've asked me to do, I don't really want to do it. And it's not just about giving or generosity. There might be any area of your life. Some of you, we refuse to forgive others. Others of us refuse to walk in purity. Some of us struggle with anger. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit has his finger on something and he's saying, until I'm Lord of all, I'm not Lord at all. And for this man, this was the area he struggled with, his possessions, his wealth. He couldn't give it back to God. And to be completely honest, this is something the Holy Spirit has checked me on many a times, and I'm convinced he's still going to do it. And so many times when I've come to God, God, help me not to be attached to wealth. God, help me not to make money my idol. Help me not to struggle with greed. And it's waves, because there are times I'm like, God, I love you. I trust you. And other times I'm like, man, this money's a bit tight this season. And it's waves, right? And we go through these seasons. But every time I've prayed to God, God, help me with greed. Every time I've prayed to God, God, help me with not making money an idol, he has always answered in the one same way. Whenever I've struggled with greed and prayed to be free from it, he's always given me an opportunity to be generous. Now, I'm not saying go and sell everything you have. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what the scripture is saying. So please don't hit me up and say, I don't have a house. Can you help me out? Because I'm struggling as well. But Steve said it well a few weeks ago. God isn't against you having money. He's just against money having you. And 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul confirms this. He's talking to the rich. And again, if you have a roof over your head, if you have food on the table, if you have water, by that definition, you're considered to be in the top 10% of the world. So don't disclaimer yourself from this. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Do you have to give an offering? No, but just be willing to if God asks. Do you have to give at the next vision offering? No, but just be ready if God prompts you to. Talk to God, see what God would say to you. Just be willing. That's what he says. Paul answers a really tough question for us. He shows, how can I enjoy money and not love it? How can I appreciate wealth and not make it an idol? Paul just said it, live generously. Be ready to share. I can have money without it having me. And how do I do that? I live generously. I don't live my life with a closed fist, but I live my life with an open hand. In fact, that's how I would describe generosity. Someone who's generous, they live their life with an open hand. And I love how Job says that the Lord gives and the Lord takes. Praise be to God. I live my life open. God, whatever you put here, I'll hold on to it. But the minute you want to take it, it's yours. I'm just a steward. I don't live my life with a closed fist. I live my life with an open hand. And that's how I would describe generosity. It says, God, whatever you have, I'm just stewarding it for you. It's always yours and you take it back. The Christian lifestyle is a generous lifestyle. If you leave this church and never come back, never forget that not every generous person is a Christian, but every Christian ought to be a generous person. If you change churches, never forget the Christian lifestyle is a generous lifestyle. If you decide to become an atheist after this, never forget the Christian is a generous person. If you leave this church or if you go home, never forget the world of the Christian is the world of the generous. So today I have three quick thoughts that can kind of put into practice to start living a bigger, fuller, and more Christ-like life in the way generosity has called us to do it. So point number one, the world of the generous is quiet. One of the most notable influences today in our generation is social media. It has influenced culture more than any single thing ever has across history. And big things like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. The only thing bigger than social media in terms of influence is a social media influencer. One notable name, Mr. Beast. Yeah? Anybody here know Mr. Beast? Just show of hands. Long story short, I had a full description of him, but long story short, this guy just gives away money. Essentially, he does, whether he just hands it out or he sells expensive things for a dollar, he does contests and stuff. He gives away a lot of money. Just last year alone, he gave away 100 million USD, and he did not have my bank account. So I'm really, don't know, you know what, if you know him, just flick him those digits, please. And that's what he does. He just gives it away, and he makes videos about giving away, and he has changed so many lives for the better. Martin Luther King says it brilliantly. He says, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. And he has changed so many people's lives for the better. And while he has done this, and while when Martin Luther is correct, you know, and Mr. Beast has done this, he has done this publicly. And the thing is, while he's changed all these lives, he's received his reward in full. Right? The way the Bible talks about it, it's quiet. It's not knowing, like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And he's received his reward, and I'm sure he's done stuff behind the scenes that nobody knows about. But the things that he's put up there, Bible is clear, he's received his reward in full. If that's public recognition, that's all that this guy has received. Yet the way of generosity in the Bible is so radically different. The world says, give and let people know so we can celebrate you. But Jesus says, give and keep it quiet so your Father may reward you. And so Christian, are you telling me don't give at all if I'm gonna be vocal? Well, I'm just saying what Jesus said. Jesus said, not don't give. He said, give, but be quiet. They're not two separate things. They should be one thing. When I give, I'm quiet about it. When I give, I'm not trying to gain attention about it. I have a friend who absolutely lives this out. In fact, he lives this out so well. He is probably the most generous person I know. And the other week, I was catching up with a young adult, and they were telling me they were struggling with rent, and they didn't have a job, and they were looking for it. And they told me that this other friend that I was talking about actually just paid for this guy's rent completely, paid for his rent, and he wouldn't let the guy pay him back. See, this guy is so generous, and I meet up with this person all the time, and he never tells me that he does this. He is the most generous person that I know, and he never tells, and he doesn't even know that I know half of this stuff, but people's lives have been so radically transformed, this guy, that they just can't help but tell people. They just can't help but tell people, man, this guy has just changed my life. And this guy never seeks attention for it, never seeks attention. And the more closer I look at his life, I realize, man, this guy's world is huge. This guy has a massive world, and it has come down to just how generous he is. He's not seeking attention. In fact, when I look even closer at his life, everything he touches prospers. And it is so evident that his generosity is being blessed by the hand of God. He has a big world, yet he is so quiet about it, yet everybody would associate him with being generous. This is the way of the kingdom. Quiet generosity, no recognition, nobody to say thank you, for the reward is up in heaven. This is what the world of the generous looks like. God created generosity to be a selfless act, but when we do it and we need to be seen, we turned what was meant to be selfless into something that's selfish, and we've missed it. God's heart is that we would love people, and the act would be, the intention would be just to love the other person, not that I would get love back. I think about Jesus in the garden. Think about this. When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's about to get arrested, he is probably the most notable figure at the time. He has changed the whole country. People know about him from every corner of the country and probably beyond. And the guards come to arrest this guy, and Judas has to kiss him on the cheek. Why? Because they didn't even know what he looked like. He wasn't wearing any flashy clothes. He had done the most change in the country, and he looked just like everyone else. He wasn't putting his name out there. Now, if Jesus is like that and we are to imitate him, how much more must we be quiet about it? Point number two, the world of the generous is sacrificial. Jesus' heart on generosity is nothing new. In fact, before Jesus starts his ministry, he actually studies the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, and he studied it really, really well. And he's speaking to a Jewish crowd, meaning they already believed in tithing and they were practicing it. So Jesus' heart on generosity is above the tithe. And so if you don't tithe, I know I'm in your grill right now, but just bear with me. What he's talking about is on top of the tithe, there's something for generosity. Generosity isn't just giving to the church, but it's giving to those in need. And so the world of the generous is sacrificial. Why? Jesus is saying something which has been reiterated in the Old Testament. Jesus didn't come to abolish the old law, but to fulfill it and bring it into all it was meant to be. And so in Leviticus, which Jesus would have read, this is what it says in Leviticus 19. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. God, in that passage, has said quite clearly, I have given you a section. I have given you things, but not everything I have given you is for you to enjoy. Can you imagine that back then? Because they used crops, they weren't thinking of money, so it was always related to harvest. You've just taken your harvest and you're looking at it and you're like, man, I don't know if this is going to be enough. Man, I don't know if it's going to be hard. And your spouse might come and talk to you like, hey, we need to do one more run through of the crops. We actually need to cut around the edges. But in that moment, God's asking, would you trust that I would provide? Would you trust that I would look after you? C.S. Lewis says it so brilliantly. C.S. Lewis is a Christian author, and he said this, if our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditure excludes them. What a challenge. What he's basically saying is, if I'm a Christian and you're not, and we both have the same income, but my lifestyle looks the same as yours, there's an issue to that. And it's not that I shouldn't be able to live the way you live because I'm not earning enough. It should be, I might even be able to, but because I'm charitable, because I'm generous, I actually live a life below my means. And Jesus is saying the exact same thing, when you give, not if, meaning this should be a practice. I go to the gym and I take some people to the gym with me, and they're like, oh, how long do I need to do this for? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, do I just need to do this for like 6 months or 8 months? And then I'm like, what do you mean 6 or 8 months? And then I don't have to go back to the gym. I'm like, you think you're gonna maintain this forever? It's just a one-off 12 month, you know, and then I'm done forever? No, this is for life. Like, you don't, this is forever. And the same things with generosity. We think we need to be generous for just, I'll be generous for the next 3 weeks and then I'm done. I'm out. But Jesus is saying, this is a lifestyle. This is the world of the generous. This is a world where we bring the kingdom through the way we give, not to build our kingdom, but to love people. And all we're doing is imitating the love of Christ. A guy who gave so much, yet nobody even knew what he looked like. And I wonder if God's asking us to do that today. Could we be generous, but not just generous the way the world describes it, but generous in such a quiet and humble way? My last point, Keys can join me. The world of the generous is not of this world. A few years ago, I'm Malaysian, if you don't know, and we went back to Malaysia, and this time, my now brother-in-law came with me, and he was going to propose to my sister over there, and he's not from Malaysia at all, so massive culture shock. And one thing to note about us Malaysians is we are quite generous. And I sound a bit prideful saying that, but let me tell you this story. It's not even just generous, we're aggressively generous. It gets you, and you'll soon find out. And so we have this meal at this restaurant, and it's my family, and it's my, I'll just call him my brother-in-law for now, but he's my brother-in-law, and then we have one of my uncle's family. So we have an awesome meal. Malaysian food always slaps. If you haven't tried it, just give it a go. And it is phenomenal, and we have this food, and then the bill comes. And we speak a few different languages, so in my family, not me, again, English struggling, but there's Malay and there's Tamil, and I have a bit of Chinese relatives as well. And so the bill comes, and then chaos breaks out. Because one thing that we love to do is we fight to pay the bill. It's not we offer, we fight. And it's bad. And so my brother-in-law has no idea what's about to happen, right? So the bill comes, my dad and my uncle stand up like, you give me the bill, this. They're speaking in Malay and I'm translating for my brother-in-law. It's like, oh, let me pay the bill, you monkey. And then it's like, oh, you gorilla, you let me pay the bill. And this and that, you buffoon. Like, why we're yelling primate names, I don't know. You know, but it's so aggressive. And the kids get involved. It's like, let my dad pay for the bill and this and that. You know, it's chaos. It is really aggressive. And I should have had a video up there, but my dad wouldn't let it slide. So it gets so, so heated. And my brother-in-law is just like, because he doesn't even understand. It's not in English, the conversation. So I'm translating for him. And so I'm enjoying the food. I'm not trying to get involved, okay? I grew up here. So I'm just enjoying the food. I'm not trying to get involved. And he's like, what are they saying? So I'm just translating keywords. I'm like, monkey, gorilla, primate. Now, disclaimer, my brother-in-law is from Zambia. So they might not have been the best choices of words to be translating to him at the time, because he has no idea whether they're talking about him or each other or whatever. They just see fight, and he thinks they're fighting on the other person to pay the bill, but they're just fighting for it. And then eventually my dad ends up putting his card on the waiter's tray thing, and the waiter goes there. But then my uncle's kid intercepts the waiter with cash and tips the waiter to take his money instead of my dad's. And then they all sit down and then they all laugh and stuff like that. And then they forget that my brother-in-law's there. And so they look at my brother-in-law and he's just like, what happened? And we're like, oh snap, you're not from here. And he looks at them and is like, yeah, I'm not from here. There was this realization of this culture shock. And the way Christians ought to give should make the world kind of realize we're not from here. That there's such a different spirit to the way we give. And again, it's not that we announce it, but if ever anybody would ever see the way we give, they should have looked at us and be like, are you sure you're from here? Do you know we're in like a housing crisis right now? Everyone's hunkering down and trying to build their homes, and you're out here being more generous. Are you sure you're from here? Are you sure? The way we give should look so foreign to the outsider. That's the way Jesus gives. It's so foreign. A guy lays down his life, expects nothing in return, and gives a free gift. How much more must we be generous? How much more must we be willing to this? Because if my generosity, C.S. Lewis said it, if my generosity looks the same as the outsider who doesn't know the love of Jesus, there is something radically wrong with that image. We should look different to the way we give. The thing is, it is right. We're not from here. We're not from here. The way we give should make people wonder that. And if they were to answer it, yeah. Because as the believer, I believe this isn't my home. It's not New Zealand. It's not Malaysia. It is a kingdom that is not of this world. That is my home. And I am heralding the kingdom that is not here when I give. I'm announcing, I'm bringing a different spirit when I give into the world. When I give to the poor, I'm giving people a sliver of this kingdom that is to come, that is not fully here yet. Jesus says, behold, the kingdom is at hand, and it's here, but it's not fully here yet. This morning we had baptisms, and when people get baptized, that's what like the kingdom looks like. It looks like it's here, but when I go out into the streets, I see violence, I see addiction, I see all of that, and it's not fully here yet. When I go out in the streets, I see greed, and I see people trying to steal from each other, but then I see the Christian living generously. And I say, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is coming. How will the world ever know that our God is a generous God if his servants don't live with a generous spirit? How will the world ever know that we have received the greatest gift if we don't give gifts out to others? And I'm not saying sell everything you have, but I'm just saying if generosity is not muscle memory to you, then man, I would encourage you, God is calling us to live generously. And watch, I promise, watch your world grow larger. Watch your world grow larger. Do it in such a way where you don't announce it, where you don't have to receive recognition or validation, but it's purely, God, I'm giving this. This is hard, God. This isn't even easy, but God, I'm just gonna be obedient. Would you bless that person? And God, I know you're taking rewards in heaven, so God, just see me giving this, God. I don't need people to see it as long as you see it, God. I trust you, God. We're from a kingdom that is not here. We're from a kingdom which is on its way. It's coming soon. Jesus says it's around the corner. But until it comes, we are what Paul says, the ambassadors of Christ. We carry the values of this kingdom that is not here. This, when people deal with this, they ought to be able to see, man, there's a different spirit about you. You're not from here, man. You give so freely. You give so easily and you're not attached. And it's not that you give little, but it's, again, it's just talking about this fact we're not from here. And so church, I would encourage you that as you go into this next week, just pray. I'm not asking you to give any amount, but just as Mary said to the servants when Jesus was making wine, whatever he asks of you, do it. Whatever he asks of you, just be obedient to it. Give the way God has asked us to give. Quietly, sacrificially, and in a way that reflects the kingdom. Can I pray for you, church? Lord, we know money is tough. We know money can become our idol. So God, right now, Lord God, we choose you over money. We choose the ways of the kingdom over the ways of the earth, Lord God. We know, God, that you bless our giving, Lord God. And so God, right now, would you highlight in our lives places we can give? Charities, missions, organizations, causes, God, that we can give and we can build the kingdom, Lord God. Lord, would you remind us it's not about how much we save on earth because we can't take that with us, but it's how much we can bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, Lord God, that through these small acts of generosity, we can show the world of the kingdom that is on its way. And so God, we pray, Lord, if greed is a struggle in any of our hearts, Lord God, would you remove it from us? And yeah, that means opportunities to be generous. And in those moments, would you encourage us and remind us that there is a reward to this, Father. There is an award. We don't give in vain. You would bless and you can do more with our act of generosity than we could do on our own, God. Thank you, Jesus. There's one more group I want to pray for. If you could keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Man, maybe for the past 20 minutes, you're like, what is this kingdom that he's talking about? The follower of Christ, the disciple of Christ, is someone who's kind of said, man, I've messed up. There's some things I've done which I haven't gotten right all the time. The mistakes I've made, and the Bible calls that sin. And the punishment for that is death. But Jesus comes on the scene and he says, I have this free gift for you. Free gift, you can't earn it. And because it's a free gift, you can't lose it. It can't be taken from you, but it must be received. And Jesus comes and he says, if you would put your faith in me, if you would acknowledge that you have fallen short of the standard, then I will come and I will transform your life and you can have not just eternal life in heaven, but you can start being fruitful the way I've created you to be on earth. And maybe you're here, maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you've had a relationship with Jesus at one point, but man, maybe you've fallen away at some point. Man, I just want to offer you Jesus's hand. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen away, Jesus will always offer his hand back to you. And right now, man, maybe if you're like, I'm not right with God, I want to get right with God. I want you to pray a prayer with me, with every head bowed and eyes closed. Just pray this in your heart. Lord, I've fallen short of the standard, Lord God. But God, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful that you've come and offered a free way, Lord, that I would never have to be separated from you. I've acknowledged that I've fallen short of the standard and I acknowledge you as Lord and God over all. God, would you transform my life? I give you my life. Let me never walk the same. Would I build your kingdom, Lord God? Would I become an ambassador of Christ? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.